I am a traveler, an explorer.
Air goes aside from my soul.
But most importantly, I'm a Greek abroad.
So here with another podcast, I'm very happy to be back. This week we will be having a chat with my brother Petros, who is also in the tour. He's currently playing Futures, and he had the privilege to come and support me at Wimbledon a few weeks ago. It was an amazing experience. Hello, Petros.
Hello, guys. What's up? So yeah, it's a huge privilege for me to travel with Stefanos. I'm learning a lot of new things, you know, because I'm also playing Futures, so the level there is not so high as the ATP Tour, and it's actually really interesting and really fun to see what Stefanos is doing. It's really incredible.
Can I ask you a question? I remember you came to watch me play at Wimbledon, and then you suddenly disappeared completely out of there and went vacation with your friends. I was pretty disappointed with you, your weird behavior. I mean, if I would be your brother, if you would be playing at such an important event like Wimbledon, I would never run away and go vacation with my friends. So why did you escape?
So it was basically a misunderstanding. I planned this vacation like a couple months ago. I didn't know the schedule of Wimbledon, so yeah, I was really sad actually, because
So your friends brought you more joy?
No. It was very sad because you were playing against Donaldson. You beat him 5 sets. Amazing match. I was so happy.
And then next day you're gone.
No, the tickets were booked, so I couldn't do anything about it. But you know, I knew from my heart that you I will be there, like with you, you know, supporting you from.
At least, can I ask you, did you enjoy your holidays at least?
Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Can you tell me things that you liked about the island you went in, Zakynthos?
So Zakynthos basically is a very...
For those who don't know, Zakynthos is located in the west-south of Greece. It's part of the Ionian Islands on the west side of Greece, and... It's amazing there. I mean, they have those sea turtles that this island is known for its natural beauty and for having those sea turtles that are, you know,
that are slowly
going into extinction, and people are killing them.
Actually, not anymore. I discussed about it in the island while I was in vacation. They told me. They organized it like pretty good, and they have like a foundation, and they keep them like alive, you know. They have like, they're protecting them from
all kinds
of stuff.
I heard the sea turtles die because of the plastic that's in the oceans.
So yeah, they make a special program that try to, you know, to clean some very like popular beaches that the sea turtles begin to you know, to make the...
All the waste, you mean?
All the waste. They clear all the waste, and it's like special beaches that the turtles, the sea turtles.
Ah, that they are protected.
They make babies there. You know, they make the.
They create their own families.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, so.
We went way too far. We went too far and completely different. Okay, yeah, but. How did you like our vacation this week in Corfu?
Oh, it was actually incredible.
I personally enjoyed it a lot, and I haven't done something like this for a very long time. And I have to be sincere and honest with you. I chose you specifically because I trust you, and of course you're my brother. And I actually mentioned in a previous travel vlog and the vlog that your phone is ringing. What the hell?
I'm so sorry. Okay, I put it
Can
silent.
You put it in silent?
It's because of your new video, you know. I shared it, and like everyone is very interested about it.
I just posted my new travel vlog on YouTube, and I enjoyed doing it. It was one of the few movies that I did that I really enjoyed creating and editing. Yeah.
But I mean, who else you can trust except me? Maybe Pavlos and Liza.
The rest of the siblings.
And mom, probably. So.
Yeah, maybe a few friends, but not that much, to be honest with you. And my first time in Corfu. You have been there before, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I have been there for the past 3 years.
Petros told me that Corfu has one of the oldest tennis clubs in Greece, which I was not aware of. I found
it's
out.
It's the oldest, actually. Yeah,
I always thought that the Athens club was the oldest one.
It was actually founded the same year, 1897, but yeah, Corfu was the first one, actually.
I went, I had a visit at the tennis club, met with some fans, people that played tennis there, and I did play tennis with younger kids as well. It was a nice visit, it was really fun.
Actually,
fun times we had in this island.
Yeah, it was a funny moment when he came in the court to play, you know, with the kids. One of the kids, they were sitting to the next court, and you know, suddenly they realized that it's Stefanos, and you know, one of them was like so impressed, he couldn't believe it. He was like, he had opened eyes, like fully opened eyes, and he was looking at you like you were like a. Like Roger Federer or something
well,
like this.
Well,
it was so funny.
I'm not,
you know,
this popular,
it.
But yeah.
No,
I mean,
but, you know, and then.
I actually feel good and proud that I make those kids inspired and, you know, make them inspired to play, you know, give them this motivation to go every day outside and play tennis.
I mean, it's unreal, you know.
In Greece, you know, Greece is not known for the sport, so. Yeah, it's
the imagination of the kid, you know, he was like, they all knew, you know, they're thinking of, oh, this guy reached like a round of 16 in Wimbledon and he's in the next court playing.
You mean,
watching
him. I know what you mean.
You know, this little kid, he was like 12 years old. He
it's a completely random place to go and play tennis, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, few weeks passed since my Wimbledon run. And you know, those kids live in the island. They practice in the club every single day. And the last person they expect is, I guess, me.
Yeah.
To just, you know,
it was,
walk
it
to the courts
really
and start. Yeah,
it
walk
really
to the courts
unexpected.
And start playing. You know.
Really
so
unexpected.
Yeah, it was really unexpected. But I did enjoy. I actually have also. I have to say big thanks to Domes Miramar in Corfu for, you know, providing us with such an amazing hotel room and having so much, you know, spending great time there. And they arranged everything for us. They were very nice and very friendly. I met with the manager, a really nice person, so... our stay was exceptional. We loved every single minute in the island, and I was pretty much I was sad when I left. You know,
it's a must place.
It is a must place if you are in Greece.
And actually, it's pretty nice. Also, they have a second hotel in Chania.
And I'll tell you why it's a must place. Sorry to interrupt you, Petros.
No, it's okay.
It is the beach. It is the location, which is so secure. And you know, it is. It's like you know, you make the rules there.
Yeah.
If you want,
yeah.
You can go to the city, which is less than 30 minutes drive. You can go to the to other beaches around the island. You can, you know, you can go shopping. You can go for ice cream. You it depends how you feel that day.
Incredible museums. We actually visited one of the museums.
Yeah, we visited an Achilleas museum.
It's called
Achilleon, exactly. I forgot the name. I'm sorry. I remember this painting. You remember? They
yeah.
told us the story that there was a huge painting in the wall, and the tour guide told us that the person who painted this, painting, obviously, there's a wheel. There's a wheel in the photo, which it looks like it's not spinning. The rest looks like it's in motion, and then the wheel is still. And they told us that the guy who created this painting, who spent months mastering this painting, you know, had a suicide after he finished that painting, because the wheel. Someone told him that you did everything correct except the wheel. The wheel, it doesn't feel like it's spinning. So I don't know whether that was the reason or maybe something else, but they say It might be because of that he didn't accept his
failure,
I would say, yeah. And he just committed suicide.
Really strange years back then, huh?
Yeah. History was a pretty interesting topic in the school, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Greek history was not bad. A lot of
Greek ancient
stuff
history, yeah,
to learn about, but you know,
I did enjoy geography a lot at school. I don't know.
Geography.
Geology, you know, like
maybe
I always hated math, always.
Math
always
is terror for me, actually. Also.
But you were actually a pretty good student back in the
I was actually not bad in not high school was. You know, high school in Greece, it's something different from a normal and your typical high school in the US, maybe in Germany, in
Canada,
in many
Australia,
different countries. You know.
Yeah, it's.
It's really,
I mean,
you know, if you wanna study and, make a plan to go to a uni, you will study and you will get good results. You know, teachers will you will have a good relation with the teachers and stuff, but. If you just want to finish school, and you don't really care, nobody's gonna push you, you know, to do it. You have to do it yourself.
And go. I mean, you can go to a Greek university, finish.
Yeah, of course, but there, you know, a lot of kids in Greece, they don't want to do that. They want just to have fun. Let's say they don't take it seriously. They finish the school, and then, yeah, it's tough. It's tough to find a job and stuff.
I remember I was bullied at school when I used to go.
Yeah, everyone was bullied, even me.
Everyone.
It's you know.
I think it was because we were, doing competitive sport, and the children just
of course
didn't accept it, and I was being bullied a lot, and I remember I had troubles. I was trying to stay as calm as possible when those fights were occur, but it was not always easy to keep.
Actually, in Greece.
Clear mental state. The kids, I remember the kids were driving me crazy. They were just, you know,
yeah, it's
getting into my mind. And I just had to stay calm. But it was not always easy, as I said.
Yeah, of course.
What about you? Were you bullied as well? You never told me that.
I was bullied, but, you know, you can deal with it many ways. As you said, you weren't caring so much. So that's a way, I guess, but I was involving, actually, when someone bullied me, I was
fighting back.
I was fighting back, yeah. And actually, that's not a very clever thing to do. You're not going to win something.
Out of it, yeah.
I was heading to the principal's office, and sometimes, you know, the guy that bullied me didn't get any penalty or something, and I was getting all the penalty because, you know, he bullied me with words, and I reacted with violence. So, or maybe not.
I understand what you mean. The guy was.
It was not one guy. It was a lot of guys, actually. So,
yeah,
it was.
He was
so
he
much.
Was making he was making you mad by his let's say words and.
Yeah.
You were reacting with physical violence.
I was acting with physical
violence. And then all the blame and all the how can I say it? All the fingers were at you after that.
Of course, because you know it was actually a couple of guys bullying me. It was not one guy. It was like three or four guys. So when you go to the principal after, you know. Four guys, it's easier to believe four guys than one guy. So I was getting the cure and the punishment and everything. So that's why.
Well,
you
yeah.
You should deal with it. You should deal the way Stefanos dealt it. Stefanos actually, I remember he was dealing it really cool. Sometimes
not
he
always.
Yeah, sometimes.
I could lose my temper sometimes.
Of course, it's impossible.
When it went over the line, you know.
It's really tough to keep the temper. So yeah.
Can I ask you something? You have been to a few countries that I haven't been. Let's say, have you been to I think you've been to some countries that I've never been to.
Okay, so the strangest like country I've been to is Tunisia.
Why? Why so?
So I remember it was actually a funny story. It's actually a funny story. Yeah. So I was playing tournaments. This time it was January.
Was it the junior circuit?
Yeah, it was junior circuit. It was last year. It was 2017. So I returned from some tournaments in Austria and Czech Republic, ITF. And
I actually liked Tunisia when I went there. It's pretty weird.
It depends. Where did you went? In Tunis?
I was in a place called Hammamet.
Hammamet is actually a good place. You were lucky to be there. I was in the city, so I was signed in this tournament in Tunisia, and I forgot to withdraw
from the tournament.
Yeah, to withdraw from the tournament, and you know, I couldn't withdraw, so
you had
I had
go
to
there.
Go to play.
Yeah,
and the scariest thing about it was that I went alone first time. To another like continent, you know.
I mean, it's Africa, but it's not.
It's not so dangerous, but.
It's North Africa. It is not deep Africa, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. But you know, the flight was so long. I remember I went to Istanbul.
It's a French colony, after all.
I went to Istanbul. I went there for like 5 hours. Then I took another plane. I was actually very close to miss that plane. Then I arrived there and. I arrived there, I took the luggage and all the stuff, I went to the taxi, part, you know, to the taxi meeting point.
Station.
And immediately when I went out of the gate, three guys approached me, and they told me, oh, you want a taxi? I told them, yeah, I need a taxi to go to the tennis club. They told me, okay, come with us. So they took me to a white taxi, and as I discovered later, the white taxis were the touristic taxis.
They were not official.
And so I remember one guy carried my luggage. He put it in the trunk, yeah. And after this, he asked me for some money. It was like so funny, you know, he just took it for 5 seconds and he put it in.
He asked you for tips?
For tips, he asked me for tips.
For carrying your luggage?
I remember I exchanged the money. I had the euros and I exchanged to Tunisian money. So, I didn't know.
What's the currency there?
Bizarre, I think. I don't remember. I don't remember the name.
So yeah, let's
Tunis money. So
let's get to the point.
Yeah.
I
didn't know the value. You know, of Tunisian money. And I remember I gave him like 20 of this currency. Let's say 20.
Which was what?
Which was like 5 euros, I guess. It was quite a lot for something like this.
Yeah. I understand.
So, and the taxi driver saw it, that I gave him so much money.
And
so,
then he asked you for
no,
more.
No. And then, okay, so then I get from the airport. He drove me to the tennis club. I showed him the address, everything. So he told me, okay, I know the place. So we're driving for like 20 minutes, not more. And he drove me to a tennis club that wasn't even close.
To the one you gave
to a
him.
Tournament, you know, to an organized tournament tennis club. It was like a tennis club with free courts, terrible surface, no clubhouse, just some trees around. And I told him, are you sure this is the right place? He told me, yeah, it's the right place. And then he asked me for like 100 of this currency. It's like, I don't know, like 30 euros maybe, 40.
How much are we talking of? How much driving are we?
Not more than 15-20 minutes.
All right.
It's too much money. In Tunisia is supposed to be a cheap country, you know.
Well, yeah. It might happen sometimes.
Yeah, so he dropped me off and I went inside the club. There was one old lady. I asked her, "Is this the tournament?" He told me she didn't know English. She didn't speak English. Yeah, she didn't speak English. She just shake her head like, you know,
no.
Left, right. Yeah. So at this moment I was really I started panicking, And I had the sign in until 6 o'clock.
How did you reach it then?
And the time was like 5:20, around 5:20. And I started panicking, you know, because I didn't know where was the club. So I start calling my dad.
And you had a time limit. That's the worst of all. Yeah, you had a time limit where you had to come to the club and sign yourself to play. And
it's actually the worst feeling when you don't know where's the place. You had time limit. You're alone. That's the worst feeling in the world. All right. So I tried to reach my dad to call him.
I actually you won't believe it, but I remember this. I was with our dad. In a trip abroad somewhere, we were playing a tennis tournament. Which month was that actually? When this happened?
It was around winter time. Maybe in the beginning of February, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I was I might have been in Quimper, I think, in France, playing tournaments there. But anyway, and then what happened? I'm sorry.
And then I tried to reach dad and he wasn't answering the first phone calls I made.
I remember when he answered, you start...
I start panicking. And
yeah, I remember that.
So I called him like third, fourth time.
I remember asking dad, what happened? What happened to Pedro? He said he got kidnapped or something. And I was so scared. But then I realized, after he called you, he told me, no, he's okay. But, you know, for me, it was scary.
Yeah, that sometimes he's overreacting, but
yeah,
okay.
He's over saying things.
Yeah,
but.
So I called him. I told him if he could reach the director, the tournament director, so he could inform us where was the place, how far away I was from that place and all this stuff. And after all, it was a success. I came to the club. It was not so far away. It was like 10 minutes walking.
So and you made
everything
it.
Turned, you know, around. Yeah. So
everything came to.
I signed in and all this stuff.
Happy ending.
And then another issue happened. So I didn't have a hotel. So
a hotel to stay?
Yeah. I went to the tournament director again and I asked him if he could book a hotel for me. And he told me, okay, you can book a I can book you a hotel and you can pay here to me.
All right.
And that's kind of strange, you know, because...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You usually pay in the hotel, in the reception. You don't pay in the tournament director.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The tournament director was actually pretty kind, you know, pretty helpful and all this stuff. And, okay, I said, okay, so... I paid, I remember, for two nights...
Might have been
400 of this money, so it's around, let's say,
let me check what's the currency there. I'm just curious to know.
I'm also curious because
I'm typing Tunisian currency. One sec. So it's a Tunisian dinar.
Tunisian dinar. So one Tunisian dinar, 30 cents.
Let me check. So you paid, you said 100.
I paid 400 for the hotel for two nights.
400, let me check. 400 Tunisian dinars in euros, let's say.
Yeah,
it is 129 euros.
Yeah, it's not a bad price, you know, for a single room hotels.
But it's pretty much you paid, let's say, 60 euros per day.
Yeah,
64.
And it's not bad.
Yeah,
you know, and all this stuff. But as I discovered, for Tunisia again, it's quite a lot to pay.
I was there, but I do not remember that well. It was many years ago. Is it a cheap country?
It is a cheap country. And now I will tell you why it is a cheap country. So the things didn't turn the way I wanted. I remember I lost the tournament. I won two rounds, then I lost the third round. And I had to leave. So, again, you know, not the best day. I pack my stuff. I check out from my room. And I'm waiting for a taxi to take me to the airport.
Yeah.
And I remember a completely different taxi arrived from the first day. It was a yellow cab, yeah. So, I insert the cab.
What you did?
I insert inside the cab, you know. I go inside the car. and it was so different, so much different from the other taxi. You know, it was not so clean and all the stuff. It was like
messy.
It was an ordinary taxi, you know.
Yeah.
Like we have in Greece. So it's the same route again from the hotel till the airport. 25 minutes drive, even more. I arrive to the airport. So I'm taking out 100 dinars, because I remember it was the when I firstly came, I remember it was 100 dinars to go to from the airport to the hotel. So yeah.
So there was no fare in the there was no like there was no electronic
was
like, system that
there
you
was no
which you could
system. Yeah. She told me
it was just a deal you would make between you and the taxi driver.
And imagine, she told me to pay 10 dinars.
No way.
It was the same destination.
No way.
The even more time. Like, I was so impressed. I thought, wow. Yeah, that guy's really cheated me the first day.
I got robbed.
I got fooled. Yeah, I paid 10 dinars, which is equal to 3 euros, I think.
10 dinars? Let me check again. 10 dinars? It's
3 euros.
I remember.
I paid 3 euros for a 25 minutes
drive.
25 minutes drive, yeah.
Yeah.
And imagine I paid 20 euros. I paid 20 dinars to the guy that just took the bag and put it inside the inside the bag,
wow.
I guess.
I'm impressed.
So that's a story, you know. It's really interesting that many countries they can trick you, you know, with the touristical
with the tourists and the
And everything.
All the touristic you know you were just not informed. You went there as a tourist and you were not you weren't familiar with the environment and how the country operates.
Yeah,
so
Tunisia has a lot of tourists, I guess. So
per year,
imagine how many of them they get like,
scammed
or cheated and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and that's really sad.
That's your story.
That's your story.
I was happy to hear that story. You never told me, so I mean, you never told me the whole story. Now you had the opportunity to, you know, to share this story with me and the rest of the people. Very nice story. We have some questions here from fans. That's the very first time that we received questions from people from the podcast. I'm going to read it. They're pretty interesting, to be honest. If you guys have any questions, you can send questions by voice on Anchor, the free app that you can make your own podcast with. We can read a few of them on our next podcast, but now we're just gonna go from with questions that are from Twitter. The first question is from Anderson. I mean, most of the questions would be from Anderson because he was one of the few people that one of the few users that send us questions. So he has 4 or 5 questions that he's gonna ask us. First question is, when you enter a tournament, what are your objectives? Would you aim to get as far as possible, or you would target reaching a particular round? Does it change between the type of tournament? Would you target for a 250 be the same as a Grand Slam, let's say? Well, you know, when I start with a tournament, I always aim for the very, you know, for the first round, because these are very important to have so you can, you know, have a good transition, and this, I would say the first 2 rounds of a tournament are very important, because that's that's where you get all of your confidence and all of your you pretty much get warmed up. And the 2 rounds are always important. I always try to stay motivated to do well in the first 2 rounds, because not everyone is fresh. Playing tournament after tournament, it is pretty tough. So you need to take advantage of that. You know, I obviously want to win every single tournament I play. If I wouldn't, you know, it would not be interesting. You know, that's why I'm out on the court, to win titles, tournaments. So let's say for a 250 event, like you said, I pretty much expect more in terms of, let's say, 250, I mean, at the current, at my current ranking, I expect more because I'm in a certain ranking where I can be seated in tournaments, and at 250 allows me, 250 events allow me to be seated. Not always, but there are a few 250s that in which I am seated. So I obviously expect more from myself, to do better, to do semis, finals, you know. And on the other hand, Grand Slams are best of five, different kind of, you know, tournaments, because as I said, it's best of five. Physical becomes more important, and your mental state needs to be at the same level. You need to keep it at the same level for a much longer time than in ATP events. But yeah, Grand Slams, I also want to do well because basically I'm trying to, you know, to win as many matches as possible in a tournament. I'm just, after every match, if I win, let's say, I say, okay, now let's go for one more. It is super important to win the next one. And then if I win the next one, then I go with the same mindset for the let's say, the third round. So that's pretty much the mindset. Next question is for Petros. Petros is going to answer the next question because he's our guest today. How do you plan a day when you have a match scheduled, but you aren't 100% sure when you will actually be on court? What advice would you give to someone considering traveling on the tour?
So about that, it really happens on the junior circuit, mostly because the organizers are scheduling. So the schedule starts like this: at 9:30 there's the first match, and then
is it always
followed by?
Is it always like this?
Maybe I tell you an example. So they start at 9:30, and then they don't know the exact time that the match is gonna finish. So they put followed by, the schedule. You know, it's written followed by. So the third match, they usually put it maybe not before 12, not before 1. You are always gonna know approximately when you're going to play. You will not know exactly the time.
The time you're going to play, yeah.
So usually, what I do is, if let's say there's a match before me,
let's say you're playing third match.
Yeah. So I wait for, I always warm up in the morning, no matter what. I play some, I hit a bit, you know, for like half an hour, make a good warm up, do some mobility and all this stuff. And when the second match is going on court and I'm playing third, I usually wait for the second match to finish the first set. So if the first set is done, I wait for a couple more games. If the guy who won the first set is winning in the second, for let's say 3-2 or 4-2, I start warming up my body, do some running or, I don't know, bands or some jumping rope and all this stuff. And I also get prepared mentally for the match. I speak with my coach about the tactics, about the way I have to play and all this stuff, yeah.
I don't know why Anderson had two questions in one tweet. That's weird. That's why I read it. But let's go with the third one. What advice would you give to someone considering traveling on the tour? Well, if he's a newcomer, let's say he's a young kid, he's just you know, he's just starting with the traveling, and then it's completely different of what, you know, of a grown-up man. Well, for a young kid, I would give, I will for sure give an advice. Well, you need to have a good team around you. You need to have people that you trust, that you're gonna, you know, trust through the, let's say, all of your development. To have a good solid team around you that can support you. Traveling alone is really tough. My brother is doing it. He's traveling alone, and
I can tell you about that. It's a mistake doing traveling alone because
you're never going to be professional enough traveling alone than traveling with a coach or let's say
it's mentally impossible. It's really tough. You need to be.
So the advice would be to have a person next to you that cares for you and wants the best for you, and second, to always believe, because there are gonna be many. many days of failure and many days in which you will be disappointed. So I'm just trying to stay motivated and remember why you started. Next question is from Anderson. Once again, his question is, what's your favorite way to travel and why? Well, I'm traveling really often by airplane, and it's becoming boring because I'm squeezed between, small seats, economy class, and my legs cannot stand this pressure. It's not just the legs, it's also the body. My favorite way to travel would be by train. Train is always, you always have a smooth ride, and you always have big seats, bigger than the airplane, so I enjoy going with the train to my tournaments, but it doesn't happen that often, so I wish it would happen more. We have another question here from Tennis Pal app. Hey Stefano Tsitsipas, so you liked Drake's God's Plan. Which song on Scorpion do you think he'll make a video for? I give it to my brother Petros. He's an expert in this.
So the new album of Drake is great. I listened to all the songs. Probably the video is gonna be made with the Survival
song.
I really like it, and I think it's fitting more as a video. You know, like all the other songs are more to have an audio and not a video.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess our podcast came to an end. Thank you, Petros, for chatting with us. I appreciate your time. It was a fun conversation that we had, and with some really nice stories in there. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for listening. It's a privilege having you, and without you, this podcast would be dead. You can find our podcast on Anchor, iTunes, Overcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, and many other. Thank you once again for listening. If you haven't downloaded Anchor, the app where you can create a free podcast, just check it out. It's an amazing place to start your own podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, and please let us know in the next video which questions you want us to answer. Till then, peace out.
Yeah. Thank you, bro.
Thanks.